Hosea, Joel. If you're going to get into the book of Daniel. Called a minor prophet, not because of importance, but because of the briefness of the book. I just want to give you a verse of scripture tying in with what I was saying this morning about the harvest. Verse number 11 of chapter 1. And we're going to read some other scripture in a minute. Be ashamed, O ye husbandmen, how, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. We was talking this morning about the harvest field and the law of the harvest and so forth, and dealing with that, and tying that in, you that we hear this morning, understand that, and know that we were concerned about it. It's time's running out. Brother Chris told us that the time's running out, come to an end, to be a time to come to an end. And I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, as sure as I'm standing where I stand. I believe that with all my heart. And I praise God for his reality of his word that is truth. Now, this morning I read some scripture and tried to tie that in with some things. And tonight I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to read some scripture. I want you to keep your Bibles open. And we'll be coming back to some other scriptures and trying to share some thoughts, a thought with you that I'm driving at, trying to get somewhere with this thought. Stand, please, while we read. Chapter 3, book of Joel, verse number 1. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, also gather all nations, will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Look in verse number 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. There shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have tonight to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the time of singing the praises unto God. I praise your name. I thank you tonight, God, for you helping Brother Frank Deal. I pray you continue to touch his body. I pray for Miss Dot Foster yonder in the hospital, you'd help her. I pray for Miss Justice that they ask to pray about and pray for. And I pray tonight now, Lord, that you'd help us in this service. We thank you for what you've done today. We thank you what you did all last week. And we pray tonight the power of God, the Holy Spirit, would anoint us to preach. I pray for that divine touch and that fresh oil tonight. And Father, that you'd help us stand in the power of God and preach in that power. I pray you take the word of God, make it real to our hearts, challenge our hearts, encourage our hearts. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we will take it to heart what's being said, and that we may hear from a very depth of our soul and being and respond to it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I remember on Friday night that Brother Chris Grinstead made a statement and said that it's time, and he did this in a kind way. But I can't remember the exact word he used, but it's decision time. Turning time, I believe, is what he used, turn. And he's challenging us about being what we ought to be, challenging us about things that we have known in the past that we may know again. And I've called this message tonight, it's decision time. Now, look with me, please, in verse number 14. multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, I'm going to spend a few minutes on this in context because it is not talking about what I'm going to deal with tonight in context. But I believe we can not do in Scripture injustice to use that thought, multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe we can use that thought without being injustice to the Scripture. Now, really, in all justification of this Scripture, he's not even talking about people making a decision. He's talking about people being in his decision, God's valley of decision. God's the ones making the decision here. It's in the context of the fact that they have come against Jerusalem. And if you go back to chapter verse 1 and 2, he said, in those days and at that time, that kind of got my attention because of what Brother Chris has been preaching all week about the time. But he's talking about this time we're living in. He's talking about another time. And he's talking about time has a beginning, has an end. This time has a beginning, has an end. And he said, those days, and in that time, there's four key days in Scripture. And man's day, and we know that man's day, Gentile age, and Jerusalem, in Luke 21:24, and says Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentile until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled. Man's day, and we talked about that. Christ's day, there's a day called Christ's day. Philippians 1:6, Philippians 1:10, it talks about the day of Christ. And we're talking about the rapture of the church and the day he takes us out. But then it comes to the Lord's day and the day of the Lord. And that's talking about judgment. That's talking about tribulation. That's after the church is out and God begins to deal with man. God began to deal in a special way with man. And he deals with him in judgment. Now, right now, Brother Chris made it so plain, I can't get over it. I'm glad it's a mercy seat now. I'm glad for the grace of God now. I'm glad we come and find mercy at God's throne. Amen. But don't ever forget that there is a throne of judgment. And that day will come. There'll be a day that God will move on this earth and judgment will rain down. The tribulation period is not going to be a picnic. It's going to be a time of judgment of Almighty God upon this earth. And God's going to deal with man. And then goes right on through the millennium down to the end of it. And Satan's loose and tribulation and problems again. Man follows the devil again. And then judgment seat of Christ. But then there's a day of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that day. Turn with me, if you would please, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12 and 13. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 and 13. Here's talking about the day of God. I'm just throwing these days out just to kind of get the context of the Scripture we've been reading and talking about. I want to do justice to that. In verse number 12 of 2 Peter chapter 3, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I say hallelujah. It's going to all burn up one day. Down here and the heavens around us are going to burn up and God's going to create a new heaven, new earth, and we shall enjoy all of that forever and forever. I can't tell you a whole lot about that because God doesn't tell us a lot about that, but John said in Revelation he saw a new heaven, he saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of God upon this new earth, and I say praise God for that. It's 1,500 miles square. This is a city. And it's 1,500 miles up, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles every way you look. And that's a big city. And that's just a city. It's coming down from God out of heaven. I don't know how big the new earth's going to be. I don't know what size that's going to be. So we're in on the little end of something big that's coming one day. And I'm glad I'm saved and headed that way. I'm thankful to God for that. And so God here in this text that I read tonight in Joel, he's dealing with the time that's going to come when God's going to bring it all to conclusion and he's going to plea in one day. And, of course, we know the battle of Armageddon will come at the end of the tribulation period, then the thousand-year reign, then Satan loose, then man will again reject God, then God will burn it all up. And what a time that's going to be. But those four key days, I think it's important that you know that you might think about it. And in context, he's gathering all nations now, against Jerusalem, and he's going to take care of that. He's going to take care. In verse 15, the sun and moon shall be darkened. Now, we know in that tribulation period that shall happen, and God's judgment will fall, and the Lord's going to roar out of Zion, and he's going to set up a kingdom and rule and reign. Thank God for the reality of it. But I'm concerned tonight about what we've been hearing all week. I'm concerned tonight about what he said on Friday night. At Gateway needs to make it. We're at a turning point. We are at decision-making time. God has been good. I don't know when I've enjoyed a revival any more than I did last week. I don't know when I heard any better preaching than I heard last week. I don't know when God did any more in my heart than he did last week. I don't know when God has... Now, I know he saved me. I guess you could say that did more. And Brother Bill and I are talking about some special time. But I'm talking about just in revival meeting, God doing something for me that I needed, and God did. And I praise him, and I thank him for it. I'm glad for the revival meeting. I'm glad. And like somebody said, I was sad when Friday night come. I hate to see it close out. God was moving. God was working. God was dealing. And God got us up to a point, though. I believe that God was in Monday night. I believe God was in Tuesday night. I believe God was in Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. I believe God gave us something special and challenged our hearts. He did mine. I pray he did yours. And he did something special for us. And I'm going to go back and look and think about what we prayed for. I'm going to look at some things of what we got. And then I'm going to look at some things, maybe what we could have had and still can have. Maybe put it that way. That'd be a better way to put it. I want to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Won't you turn there? 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to look at this with me. We dealt with that on Sunday before he came in on Monday. Elijah's prayer. I want you to see it. And we're going to look at it again. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day. Now notice what he prayed. Let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire fell. Now, I thought about that. God turned their heart back again. He challenged on Sunday night that we were at a turning point. And tonight, I'm saying it's decision-making time. And I pray that God help us and we realize the fact that in this prayer that Elijah prayed, we saw some of that come to fruition in this past week. I don't know about you, but my heart's been turned. I don't know about you, what you got out of that meeting, but God certainly has turned my heart in many ways toward him, and I'm closer walk with him, and something that I've been reminded about that God does in our hearts. And if you're not careful, you go cold and I go cold, and we get to looking at circumstances and situations and people, and we need to care about people, and we need to care about situation. But oh, how we need to hear from heaven. And God do something in our heart. And I believe if you was in the revival all week, you'd have to say God turned our hearts. You'd have to say God made himself real. And that we realized that God was God in Gateway. Amen. You believe that? I do. I believe God made himself real in Gateway. And I say praise God and thank him for it. But I want you to look closely at what he prayed. And of course, he's praying to Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. And we know God is God, and he manifested himself. Let it be known this day thou art God in Israel. We know he did that. He made himself known in Gateway. And then he said that I'm thy servant. I've done all these things at thy word. They no question what Brother Chris Grinstead was not God's man and God's man for the hour. I don't believe anybody argue with that, would you? that he was God's man preaching God's word and was God's man for that hour in that meeting. He and I had talked about revival for a long time. We had talked about him coming up here and for revival for a long time, but God never laid it on my heart. He never made it real until this time that revival came. And God made it so real to me, and I knew that Brother Chris Grinstead was supposed to come and preach revival. And God, I believe on my heart, God was in it. Amen. And we saw that. We were part of that. I say hallelujah and praise God. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know. And again, I come back to the people. I believe God helped us to know that he has turned their heart again. I say hallelujah. It turned their heart again. I believe something happened to Gateway last week that is still going on today. I believe tonight something going on at Gateway. Amen. I really do. And then he said the fire fell. Now, I'm not sure about the fire falling in fullness. I think we've seen some fire fall. I think we've seen some of that. It may have not licked up the water yet out of the trench, but we've seen some fire fall. And we've seen something happen. And I say hallelujah. Brother Tim and I was talking. Tim was talking about in his own heart, and I don't think he mind me saying this, something in his own heart happened that hadn't been for a long time. And something in my, I say hallelujah. I thank God for that. Call it fire. Call it the presence of God. Call it God turnness. Call it whatever you want to. God did something for us. Amen. Would you testify to that? And when you say amen to that, amen. Many in the house did. And if you missed out on it, I pray God to get you tonight and get you in on it, because I don't want you to miss it, because I thank God for the fire. Amen. And the presence of the Lord. And if you read on here in this scripture, when he got through praying, then all the people fell down and gave God glory and said, he's Lord. He's Lord. He's God. And I say hallelujah. We need to say the same thing tonight. God's still God. He's the same God. Did you know he's the same God he was back there in that old building? Went and filled it up, and people got saved, folk got happening, and we just got excited about coming to church. We couldn't wait to get to church, and we'd look around and see God moving everywhere and shouted glory, hallelujah. You remember that? And remember coming in this building, we come in that day, how good it was, and go out of the presence of God real, and things just real around. You remember that one Jubilee we had? And after that Jubilee, that Sunday morning, we didn't even have Sunday school. We didn't have anything. It was just God manifesting himself all over the place. And then we got out here and people got getting saved. And an altar's filled. I mean, lined up all the way across this altar. Y'all remember that? Y'all, I know some of you do. And we've got the same God tonight that we had back then. Same God tonight is present in this building that was present back then. Amen. And I praise God. Thank him for his goodness. Now I want you to look in Psalms with me. 85. Psalms 85. And look at this. Psalms 85 and verse number 6. It says, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Now I want to point that out to you. He said, but not let them turn again to folly. Don't let this thing die. Don't let it dry up on us. Don't let that happen. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now I know that as far as the land of America is concerned, that we haven't seen a whole lot happen as I know of about the glory of God, but in our church we have, and let's let that glory dwell. Let's get in that glory, let it dwell. And he talked about dancing for the Lord. I'm calling it glory. And you call it what you want to. Praising God, having a shout in your soul, and nothing else, your liver quiver. Something happening inside of you that you know's real, and you're happy about it. Amen. Are you glad you're here tonight? Happy you're in the house of God. I say hallelujah and praise God for the privilege to come to the house of God. But I don't know about you, but I prayed, asked God that he'd send revival that we may rejoice in him. Amen. And God did that. I mean, I appreciate Brother Chris Grinstead. He's my friend, and I love him to death, but I appreciate everything he preached. And boy, he brought out some things I never seen, I never thought of. And I just praised God. I just shouted hallelujah. but I want God send revival that we may rejoice in God. Amen. Thank God for Brother Chris. But Brother Chris didn't bring it. God did something for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did. God did something for me. God did something for you. And let's rejoice in the glory of God. Amen. Let's give God glory and praise and honor and thanks for what God did. Amen. But not only for what God did, but what God's doing even right now. I believe that God's doing something in our midst that somebody needs to get in on it, because you're not in on it yet. You haven't got in on the glory. You haven't got in on the fire. You haven't got in on the presence of God. And somehow, heart's cold and you need something from God. I'm glad God tonight can do something for you and you can get in on it. Hallelujah. And you can get in on the joy and the thrill of what God is doing. I say hallelujah and praise his holy name. I'm glad for that. Look with me in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse number 21. He said this: turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Is that not what revival's about? Is turning us and renewing us. Hallelujah. I'm glad God turned us. And God is renewing us. And I'm glad for all of that's happening. And I praise God and thank him for it. Now, in those scriptures I read, we know the fact that it came. What's happening, we've seen some of it. And we got a taste of some of it. We're experiencing some of it. But there's others we're still waiting on. And I still believe God's got something else for us. And so, I want tonight to challenge your heart. Multitudes are in that valley of decision. There's people here tonight that you're thinking about, that you'd really like to get in on what God's doing, but you're not really sold out to it yet. You're not really gave yourself fully to it yet. You like to be in good services. You like it when God gets around. You like for somebody else to shout. You like for somebody else to testify. You like for somebody else to get in on it. But you haven't really plunged in the depth of it. You've been skirting around on the edge of it, but you're afraid to get in the middle of it. You're afraid of what may happen. God may do something in your heart, and you may lose your dignity. And you may lose where your little comfort good zone that you're in. And there may something happen to you that you get beyond yourself. Well, let's go back again and just refresh our memories again a little bit about what happens when revival comes. People get cleansed, amen. And I didn't experience anything until I let God cleanse me, amen. And there's a cleansing power. In chapter 51 of Psalms, Psalmist David's making that great repentance that he made and asking for the joy to be restored later in that chapter. But the first 7 verses of that chapter, he's just confessing his sin. He's confessing his ungodliness. He's confessing about all that. And God's cleansing him. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God cleanses. Amen. He's better than Fuller's soap. Amen. I remember Don Farmer preaching a message here one time on Fuller's soap. And I'm glad Jesus is better than the Fuller's soap. Amen. He can cleanse you up, and I mean cleanse everything about you that's ungodly, everything about you that is wrong in your mind and in your heart and in your very being. He can just cleanse you, and thank God for cleansing power of the Word of God. Amen. I know sometimes I may not remember what the preacher preached. I may not remember what the choir sung. But I know God did something in my heart and stirred me up. Amen. And cleansed me from something. Amen. I'm glad for the cleansing power of revival meeting. Just get in good meeting. If you stayed in that meeting last week and God didn't do something to you, make you want to get cleaned up, you probably need to get saved. Amen. I don't believe a saved person sitting that kind of preaching and sitting that kind of services and not want to get cleansed up. Amen. Not want to worship real good and get cleansed. Amen. You ever been out working and got sweaty and dirty and you wanted to get inside and get in the shower and just get cleaned up? Boy, that's how a revival will do to you spiritually. It'll make you sweaty and it'll make you feel like dirt and you are dirty. And then when you get into him and fall on the altar and God begins to work in your heart It's like taking a shower physically, and God just rains down on you that power of God, and that Spirit of God begins to cleanse and scrub. And you ever been scrubbing and hurt? Boy, I have. I've tried to scrub some dirt off, and it gets a hurting trying to scrub it off. And when I was a boy, Mom make it hurt sometimes. If anybody could scrub behind your ears, she could. Or get to the bottom of your feet. Now, I'm ticklish on the bottom of my feet, but when Mom got a hold of them and scrubbing them, it wasn't funny. She's making it hurt. But she's doing a job that needs to get done because she's cleaning it up. Amen. And need to get cleaned up. I've told y'all before about the time I hurt my knee, cut it open, went to the doctor. Doctor wasn't in, had his assistant there, who, whatever you want to call him. And he cleaned it out a little bit, put some medicine on it, patched it up, sent me home. Well, a few days later, I had to go back to the doctor. My doctor, he was an old-fashioned doctor. He didn't beat around the bush, Dr. Staley. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And he just ripped that bandage off, looked at it, and said, the only thing wrong with your knee is he wasn't rough enough. And I knew right then I was in trouble. Because when he started cleaning it out, he cleaned it out. I mean, he dug in and poured in. I don't know what all he poured in, but he took Q-tips and gauze and everything else and scraped and raped. It was raw and bleeding. But when he got through and doctored it back up and put the bandage on, it got well. Hey, man, that's exactly what God did to me last week. He took me down there and said, the only thing wrong with you is you haven't been scrubbed enough. Haven't been cleaned up enough, and I'm fixing to clean you up. And he started working on me, amen. And he worked, and then he worked some more, and I say, hallelujah, I'm glad he worked on me. Because amen, cleaned me up. I needed it. And so he did it. And I say, praise God. A revival cleaned you up. And then revival, I want you to know, will restore the joy. Amen. We talked about it a little bit while ago, but he said, restore me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, sinners shall be converted unto thee. Down there sets an evidence of it, and sinners get saved. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. People get saved, folks get right with God if we get the joy back. But we need the joy back. We lose our joy, and a stinking pride won't let us admit that we've lost him. Amen. And brother Tony, let me encourage you. I hope we stay in this spirit of revival for a long, long, long time. In fact, I hope it never ceases to be that spirit of revival. But sometimes people get saved and they hang around other saved people long enough, they'll get backslid. They're excited running over joy because they got saved. And then they get to hearing about problems here, problems there, difficulties here, difficulties there. And the preacher preached too long, or he slobbered too much, or spit too far. And they get to hearing all that stuff. After a while, they get discouraged. And they don't have the joy they once had. They come at one time full of joy, full of life, and couldn't wait to get down, couldn't wait to get preaching going, couldn't wait for something to happen, and just excited about it, but cool off. And that happens to us, but God help us. And we'll be aware of it and not be too proud to admit it. Ask God to restore the joy of his salvation. Amen. If we begin to cool off, let's pray God build a fire. God build a fire under us. God help us stay on fire. And God help us for that joy and stay excited about what God's doing. Amen. And see sinners get saved and born in the family of God. My heartbeat tonight is I want to see people get saved and people get born in the family of God. I'm glad that we can send missionaries. I'm glad they're getting saved in Mexico. I'm glad they're getting saved in other parts of the world. I'm thankful for that. I hear about that. But I hear about other churches and having people get saved and things that happen. I want to happen right here at Gateway. Amen. I don't think that's a selfish desire. I want it to happen for the glory of God. That God be magnified and Jesus lifted up. It brings glory to him every time a sinner cries out and says, God, save me. It gives him glory every time. Brother Buddy,
Amen. That's hard to spit that now. Brother Buddy got saved, and I'm glad he's still smiling about it. Amen. And still waving his hand at me every once in a while. I say, glory, hallelujah. Don't get over getting saved. And don't let it die. But if it starts to die, I'll cry out to God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And let God, boy, when it gets real, hallelujah, get like Mark Wooker. You won't know what to do. Amen. Yeah. You'll get excited and lose your dignity and squeal or do something, amen, and praise God. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad it's real. And sometimes that joy is there. And sometimes you like to raise your hand, but you kind of bashful about, backward about. But if God ever gets on you just right, you'll raise your hand or your leg or something, amen, and wave to God and maybe take a running fit. Remember that fellow running around here the other night? And I made this statement. He's just dancing by himself, that's all. Amen. Wasn't anybody else much dancing that night, but he did. And took him a fit. I say, praise God. Just let God. If y'all didn't wasn't here and y'all don't know what I'm talking about, I hope you catch up sometime. Amen. I'm telling you, God is still God. There's joy in the Lord. Amen. I'm glad there's joy in serving God. Amen. Joy. I mean joy in serving the Lord. I praise God and thank him for all that he did for us. What he's done. It'll make you want to testify. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed say so. Hallelujah. It'll make you want to testify. You really get the joy back and you really get stirred up. You really let the fire burn your heart. You'll be wanting to tell somebody about Jesus. And you'll even be wanting to testify in church and jump up and praise God and testify some and talk about the Lord. Amen. And by the way, testifying is not talking about all the problems you got. Testifying is talking about how good God is. Testifying, telling how good Jesus is. What he's done for you. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for real testimony. Amen. Been a while since we had a good testimony service where people just got turned loose. And like a popcorn kind, it just pops up. Amen. Just pops up here and pops up there. And they testify for the Lord Jesus. I like that kind. And been a while, but we liable to have one for long. Amen. Who knows? And I'm not trying to pump anything up. I'm just trying to tell you how it is. But we need to be willing. And when we come to the house of God, we need to be coming in, prayed up, ready up. Ready up. I guess that's okay. We need to be ready to do whatever God says to do and get up, pop up, and stand up, shut, whatever it is God wants to do. Preach on the ups here tonight before I'm over. And let's just get up and do it. Amen. For the glory of God. Let God help us in all that we need to do. I say praise his name. Amen. I'm glad it conquers Satan. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loved not their lives unto death. The word of their testimony is in there. Did you know that? The blood of the Lamb's in there, but said the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, they got all the pride out, got everything else out, didn't care about anything except one thing. They wanted to praise him, plead the blood, and their testimony. That's how they overcome the devil. Isn't that good? I say, hallelujah. Glad for revival, aren't you? Praise God. But you know what hinder from going on, keeping on? I'll tell you one thing that'll hinder be sin in the camp. Unconfessed sin will hinder God from doing what he wants to do. When you remember Achan, the story of Achan, you know it well. And he had a hidden wedge of gold, silver, and Babylonish garment. And God would not give them the battle of Ai. God warned them to win the battle. It was his will for them to take Ai. But he wouldn't give it to them because they had sin in the camp. It was hidden. And you can't hide sin in your life and expect God to give real victory. Now, as a church, as a collective body, now some of us are having revival in our hearts, and some are really enjoying what God's doing and praising God. There's a few folks still haven't got in on it, and there's some maybe lost without God, don't know how to get in on it because they can't get in on it. But you can if you get saved and born in the family of God. Then some are saved, and they just hadn't quite got in on it yet in the middle. But then there's others, they've got things in their life that hinders God from letting the breeze come through the whole church and the power of God move like he wants to do in the whole church. Amen. You say, preacher, now, I'm not answerable. Hey, listen, you're a part of the church. You're here. You're saved. Then you have a responsibility to let God have his way in your life. And if you hide sin in your life, you'll hinder God from doing what he wants to do in the church. Amen. That's good preaching. As Brother Chris said, even when I'm doing it's good. It's good when he's doing it. It's good when I'm doing it. Anybody else doing it. Sin hinders God from doing what God wants to do. And so we need to be sure that we stay alert to the fact of what God wanted to take Israel into Canaan a long time before he did. But their unbelief and their disobedience, their murmuring kept them out. And they couldn't go in because of that. And they thought they had to believe God and go ahead and do it. Let's just believe God and shout her out. Let's just believe God and say praise his name anyhow. And believe God and go ahead. You say, preacher, my situation bad. But we got a great God. Amen. Let's go into Canaan by faith. He will do it again. I'm thinking about that song. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. And I believe he'll do it again. Amen. Fact is, in my heart, he's already doing it again. Can't understand myself. Goliath. They wanted. Did you know God wanted the Philistines to fall in the hands of Israel? And Israel win the battle and Goliath to fall in their hands and win the battle? But they couldn't. You know why? Because they're afraid. They got afraid and hid. And old Goliath come out there and roar. And he'd challenge them. Wouldn't nobody go out and fight him. Everybody just hid. I thought about what Brother Chris preached last week. He said the priests and the Levites knew the way to move the ark, but they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. If your preacher don't preach to you, I'm guilty as those priests and Levites are. They should have said something. They wasn't doing it the right way. They should have spoke up and said, that's not the way you move the ark. God said for us to carry it. But they didn't say anything. And so if a preacher doesn't preach against sin and tell you sin in your life is going to hinder your spiritual walk with God, then he's not helping you. Amen. You need that. You need that. Israel needed that. I'm going to try to hush here in a minute. But look at verse 14. Multitudes, I'm in Joel chapter 3 now. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now the coming of the Lord Jesus is near to us. And I struggled with this, exactly what to do tonight. I struggled with any service I struggle for because I want it to be what God wants it to be. But after revival and after what we've experienced, boy, I want God to help us in the service. God kept dealing with me about this. What did you pray for? And what did you get? And what are you still looking for? And I thought about what Brother Chris had said Friday night. The turning. You're at a turning point. And I said to myself, amen. Amen. And decision making time. We will either go on further with God and see people saved and see things happen for the glory of God and walk out by faith, or else we'll just back up again and fall right back in the same routine we're in. And our shout won't be there. Our joy won't be there. And we'll be coming to church, just coming to church. Now, I God knows my heart. I prayed. I sought God before revival time ever got here. I tried to preach what God wanted me to preach. I needed it. Brother Chris, I believe all my heart came and preached what God wanted him to preach. I can't in any way say anything enough about that except amen and amen. But I am saying something tonight to us, church. As a church, it's decision-making time. It's time we either really get at it, going after souls, going after people for God, or we go into our same old routine, fall back in our same things that take our time, same things that takes us away from the house of God, same things that take us away from visitation, same things that takes us away from praying, takes us away from the Word of God, same things that we've always been doing. We're going to make a decision. We're going to do something with it. What are you going to do with it? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. And try to share our heart with this, our people. Lord, you've been so good to us. You have blessed abundantly. You have challenged us, encouraged us, convicted us. We praise you and thank you for all of it. But I pray tonight, Lord, as we come to this time, that you'd help all of us do what you want us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'd like to come and bow with us in prayer, I invite you to come. If you'd like to come and say, Lord, I want to be a real part. I want to be really moved and used of God. I want God to help me, that I'll not just be here in the service. I'll not just come in, but I'll come with God in my heart and with God in my life and wanting God to help me. You want to come find your place, you come. I'm not going to prolong the invitation. I'm going to be through in just a few moments. We're going to pray. People are coming. People are coming. In your life, individually, I don't know where you are. Some of you are staying with children. Some of you have physical problems and cannot bow. I understand that. But if God's speaking to your heart, God dealing with your life, and saying anything to you about, I want to go on for God. I want God to help me. It's not saying it's just saying I want God to help me. Go on. Go on and go further with God. You come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And tonight you say, preacher, I really need God to help me. My life's not what it ought to be for God. I want God to help me. Would you slip your hand up? Anyone here? God bless you. 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 I saw precious hands go up. Or if it's somebody else, slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me.